Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband,
wife.
Do you know what we're doing?
A different type of opening, apparently, wife.
I told you I had that fucking song in my head.
You did.
And I had to sing it. Now it's out.
I'm glad. Is that it? We're done with that?
Let us hope. Let us pray.
Let us not. Welcome to our podcast. What comes next after that little?
Well, normally I say, "Do you know what we're doing today?"
Yeah. So,
and then you go.
And then I say, thanks. No, I don't say thanks. No. I don't say thanks. That's not what I say.
Wow, I really fucked your shit up.
You really fucked my shit up.
Okay, what do we do next? You say, well, in the last episode.
Yeah, in our last episode, on an actual thing where we read the Bible, we covered Matthew chapter 13.
Sure as fuck did.
We sure as fuck did.
Are you okay? Are you back?
Maybe. I don't know. Are you done?
I'm gonna call 911 right now.
Don't call 911. That's not what we need.
Okay.
So in that one, we had a bunch of parables.
We sure as fuck did. Oh my god.
Yeah, we had the parable of the sower. We had weeds. We had mustard seeds. We had yeast and hidden treasures and
pearls and fish
and stuff. And there was all kinds of stuff. And it was
redonkulous.
It was interesting, I guess. Maybe, like, I don't know. Like, everybody talks about these parables and how, like, the part that really pisses me off is that this whole chapter, all these parables, there was such a long section of him talking, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And not only do we have to go and, like, vet all these parables, but, like, on top of that, this was another prophecy stuffing moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this was just them, like, and there will be someone who says everything in parables. And it's like, oh, are we still doing prophecy stuffing? We're 13 fucking chapters in.
Right.
And we're still doing prophecy stuffing?
Mm-hmm.
When do we get done with the prophecy stuffing?
Not ever.
Fuck.
The whole New Testament is prophecy stuffing.
It's just, this is too much. It's just that I'm so sick of the fucking prophecy, like, then this was another prophecy.
And like, it's like 9/10 of it is from Isaiah.
Yeah.
And for that, fuck you, Isaiah.
So that was Matthew chapter 13.
Sure as fuck was.
Which means that today we're going to be getting into
chapter 14 of Little Maddie.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. Okay, we are hopping into chapter 14 of Little Maddie, and we did a Q&A over the previous three chapters.
We did.
Well, we did a two-parter.
Yes, there was two Q&As.
We did learn that some of the parables actually had a little bit more depth and meat to them than we originally realized when we read them.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And I'm hoping that we get more interesting stuff happening. And I have to tell you, like, I opened this up and my eyeballs about fell out of my head. Because there's a header.
Spoilers
for the Bible. Well, I've never read the Bible, so, like, literally the headers are spoilers for me.
Yeah.
And it just says the death of John the Baptist, and I'm like, whoa, John the Baptist dies? I didn't fucking know. So
he doesn't have much of a story arc, does he? Went to jail and now he's going to die, apparently.
He baptized Jesus and went to jail and now he's dead. Okay. So we're going to find out what happens.
But he's
to
John
him.
The Baptist. Like, I mean, he's got a full fucking title.
He's Big John. Big John.
And he was like an Elijah or something, you know? Like, it was.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
I wonder if a chariot's going to take him up to heaven in a whirlwind. All right. Let's read this.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. At that time. Okay. Oh, because remember the previous chapter, right at the end, Jesus was like, hey, all of you Capernaum guys, what's up? And they were like, no, we don't really chill with you and your fucking miracles. And he was like, fine, just for that, fuck y'all. And he like gave them all the middle finger and peaced out.
Yeah.
So that's what it means at that time.
Okay.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
At that time that he was like
hating saying, on all those cities,
fuck
or whatever.
You
or his city or something. Or,
particularly you know? His town. Because
yeah.
remember, they were like, get a load of how this guy grew up. Wow. He grew up to be a big prophet guy. Did not see that coming.
Right. Yeah.
And so then, so that's all happening.
Okay.
So at that time
sure.
of that, Herod the Tetrarch. What is that word? Tetrarch. Okay, I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that has to do with a three, because tetra.
Okay.
Tetrarch. Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus.
That would make sense, because he's probably like the third, because Herod, and then he had a son, and this sounds like a new one, maybe again.
Okay.
Possibly.
Okay, so it might be like Herod the third or whatever.
Maybe.
Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus. And I'm guessing he wasn't happy.
It's probably not going to be good.
He's like, king of the Jews, my ass.
Right.
I'll tell you who's king of the Jews.
Yeah.
And he said to his attendants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That is why miraculous powers are at work in him.
Wait. What?
Oh, he's confused. He was hearing reports about Jesus, and he was like, that fucking John the Baptist guy. Are you even kidding me right now? He's still running around doing shit.
But wait, what's this about him raising from the dead?
Apparently
when did he raise from the dead?
Okay, listen, I'm going to go on.
Okay.
Now, Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife.
Okay.
For John had been saying to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. Oh, we're going to have to look that up, because why? Was she a sister or some shit?
Probably.
Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet.
Okay.
On Herod's we start the chapter, and Herod is like, this motherfucker John. He's hearing about Jesus, and he's like, this motherfucker John. I thought we killed that motherfucker. And so now the chapter's like, okay, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Like, what led up to him saying that?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just making sure you're with us.
Okay.
So he wanted to kill John because John's like, you can't marry her. That grody, whatever you did, I don't like it.
Sure. Okay.
So John's like, I will throw you in jail and I will kill you, but I can't because I'm scared of the people.
Who was?
The Herod.
Yeah, okay.
Herod.
Right.
He's scared
yeah.
of the people.
Yeah.
Because the people consider John a prophet.
Right.
Okay, so on Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias, his brother's wife, danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much. Oh, it was his brother's wife. That's why John's like, you need to fucking chillax. You cannot fuck your sister-in-law.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And he's like, but she hot. I need that sweet, sweet pussy. Okay, so she was dancing and stuff and shaking that ass and twerking all over the place. And she pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked.
Okay.
She was a honey lip vixen, sounds like.
Sounds like.
I mean,
he was
I don't
not
know.
On a straight path that
I
day.
Mean, who knows? Matthew was fucking, he could be talking, she could have been nice as pie, and Matthew was like, that whore.
Right?
Like, yeah. I mean, look what happened to Bathsheba, right?
Sure.
Like.
And that was David.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, everybody's like, yay, they had a romance, and it's like, no, that man raped that woman. Like,
right.
you never get the straight story, right?
Yeah.
So for all we know, this woman is fine, and the Bible's like, no, she nasty.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Anyway, she's dancing, and he's like, I need to fuck you so bad, I will give you whatever you want.
Okay.
Prompted by her mother, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. Ooh.
Okay.
The king was distressed. But because of his oaths and his dinner guests, because he had just said that in front of everybody.
Yeah.
I want to fuck you so bad, baby. Please. And she's like, give me the king of John the Baptist, and then I'll fuck you.
The king of John the Baptist?
The head of John the Baptist. Okay. Sorry, I did a dyslexia
sure,
thing.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So, anyway, the king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted. He's like, my hands are tied. What can I do?
Right.
I guess I gotta kill him.
Well, sure.
I mean, I wanted him dead anyway, so this works out. And he had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who carried it to her mother. Cool. That's what
these are weird gifts, you know?
That's like, what I want for my birthday.
No, I'm not beheading anybody for you.
Give me the head of somebody for my birthday. I need a head on a platter for my birthday.
No.
That's where they get that from, head on a platter. It was head on a platter.
Okay.
His head was brought in on a platter.
Yeah, I got it.
Right?
Yeah.
That's where we get that phrase from.
Where do we use head on a platter?
I'll bring you his head on a platter. You've never heard anybody say that?
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Like, that's a thing. That's a saying.
No, you're right. You're right.
So John's disciples, they were so sad, right? They came in and took his body and buried it. It's nice that they were allowed in the jail to get his body.
Yeah.
It's so weird. They're allowed to go see him.
Right.
Because they had been talking to him. Remember when John was like, go ask that Jesus guy, is he the real deal? Like, sure. It never occurred to me, like, his guys are, like, talking to him in jail. Their prisons are weird.
I'm just really confused here because, like, there's not really been much of an arc for this guy.
Well, we're back to John now. We're getting his arc.
Okay.
And it's escalated quickly.
But, I mean, his arc is already over. They took his head off.
Yeah. Okay. And then they went and told Jesus what happened.
Yeah.
Okay. So all of that happened. So John is dead. And so then Herod is hearing these stories about a prophet, and he's like, that motherfucker, he must be risen from the dead because I fucking had him killed. I mean, I had his head on a platter. And he doesn't realize, no, they're talking about Jesus, dumbass.
He doesn't realize, are you sure?
Yeah, it literally said that at the beginning.
Okay. I thought that...
Listen.
I thought he said that the trouble was because of this John the Baptist guy.
At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus.
Yeah.
And he said to his attendants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. This is why miraculous powers are at work in him.
Okay.
He thinks that Jesus is John risen from the dead.
But neither of them are dead. Neither of them have died.
John had died.
Okay, I'm confused. I am very confused.
I don't understand how you're confused. Listen, I'm going to tell you the story one more time. Okay, so Herod is like at this party and he's like, this girl is fine. And John's like, that's your sister-in-law. Don't do it. And Herod is like, go to jail. And so they took him to jail. Anyway, then Herod is like, baby, I want to fuck you so bad. I'll do anything.
I get all that.
And then she's, hold on, let me get through the story. And then she's like, I will fuck you if you bring me that guy's head that you just sent to jail, if you send me his head on a platter.
Yeah.
So then he does it, right? And so then later he's hearing reports about Jesus.
But they said that before this happened.
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They did. Now Herod had arrested John and bound, like we did it anyway, 3 weeks ago. Here's where we were 3 weeks ago.
Oh, this is a flashback.
I literally told you that at the beginning.
Okay.
I literally told you we were doing a flashback.
Got it.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. Are you good? You caught up?
I think so.
Okay. So now he's like, fuck me. Like, I killed that guy, you know, so I could get that sweet pussy. But now I'm hearing reports about this prophet guy, Jesus. He must be the risen John the Baptist that I had killed. What the fuck? Okay, so that's where we are now.
Okay.
Okay? And so John's people went and told Jesus what was happening.
Sure.
Okay? When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. So he's crying in his boat, and they're just standing there on the shore going, are you okay? Bruh. Jesus, what's going on?
So I'm still confused as to like what I mean. He did kind of swoon over John the Baptist in that one chapter,
mm-hmm.
but the whole relationship here to me seems very not defined. between Jesus and John the Baptist?
Yeah, it's hard to follow. I mean, we might get more of that relationship in the other Gospels.
Yeah.
But what we know is that they had met earlier on and argued over who was cooler to baptize
each other. That one time.
Right.
And then his John the Baptist's disciples came and talked to Jesus and asked Jesus questions. And then Jesus was like extolling the virtues of John the Baptist, right?
Yeah.
But that's all I know about their relationship.
Well, but from that, you know that Jesus held him in very high esteem.
Sure, sure.
So he's upset.
Okay.
He's sad, so he's on his little boat.
All right.
And everybody's unsure going, Jesus.
It's just there's not a lot of context for this whole thing.
Right. That's all. I mean, think about it. This is written for people who already know supposedly what happened. Like, kind of. This is like filling in the blanks.
Okay.
Okay. Supposedly.
Yeah.
Okay. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So he's like, I'm sad, but all right, I'll heal you. Come here.
Right.
Get over here. Get in. As evening approached, the disciples came up to him. So now it's followers, his disciples, his students.
Okay.
And they said, this is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food. I know this story. I know where we're going from here.
Okay.
Because it's dinner time. So send them away. They got to go. There's a big crowd.
Okay.
We don't have enough food to feed all these fucking people.
Got it.
They got to leave.
Oh,
This is that.
Okay.
Yeah. Jesus replied in red ink, so you know it's for real.
Right, yeah.
They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. My God, if you ever said that to me, I would be like, you want to go check our cabinets? I do not have food for all these fucking people.
Yeah.
And we do not have magic in our cabinets.
No, we sure don't.
Excuse me, we have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered.
Mm.
They were like, you need to do maths.
Yeah.
Your maths is
wrong. This is not going to work out well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel a miracle coming.
A miracle's coming. Ready? Are you ready for it?
I feel a bubble under the surface here.
Are you getting ready for it?
It's coming.
Okay. It's red ink. He says, bring them here to me, the loaves and the breads. Okay?
Yeah.
And he directed the people to sit down on the grass, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. That's so nice. God could do that. I wish he would do that to the hungry people today if he has that magic power.
Yeah.
What a dick that he lets so many people starve.
Right. You remember that one time that the Israelites complained about the lack of food?
And he threw birds at them.
Birds at them? Yeah.
Well, never.
But this time he multiplied the food, and he's just like, "Here you go."
Yeah, but that's because that was Yahweh, and this is Jesus.
Jesus is a better food giver.
Than
God is. He is. Apparently, I mean, God did give them manna, I guess, but this guy is like, he's feeding them bread and fish. So
it's raining tacos. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
And they had 12 somethings left over after they were done on top baskets.
12 baskets full of broken pieces.
On top of feeding those 5,000 people.
Okay, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't understand what you mean by leftover broken pieces of bread, because I love the butt of bread. So how were those there? You're telling me that in 5,000 men plus all their wives and children, that not one of them was like, oh, I'll take the crust.
Yeah.
I'll eat that butt end. I like that.
Right.
You know, I'll be a good helper. Like, I'll take the part that nobody else likes. I love bread.
Yeah.
I love bread.
There's 5,000 people there. And
no, there's more than 5,000.
More than 5,000 people there. And it took them 40 years to write this down?
Mm-hmm. And nobody else wrote it. Just only...
I mean, that's like a whole town of
only people. The gospel guys.
It's like a whole town.
Yeah. Not one of them wrote anything.
Not one of them wrote down anything.
Only the gospel guys.
Right.
Later. 40 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I love this for them. This religion checks out. All right. Immediately after that happened...
Yeah.
Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. Oh, my God. oh my God, is this where he walks on water? Oh my God. After he had dismissed, I'm excited when we do a part that I know.
These are Jesus things, right?
I'm like, I know that one.
These are the Jesus things we know.
Right?
Right.
Like, let us remind listeners who might not have been here from the beginning, we are neither scholars nor academics, and we have never read the Bible, and we weren't raised in religion, and we both came in non-religious homes, and so we're like, I don't know, I only heard a little bit. And so what little bit, that's what we bring here. And Jesus walks on water is one of those things.
It is.
So
it
I'm
is.
Very excited if this is that part.
Goddamn medieval superhero type.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, so he dismissed the crowd, okay? And his guys are on the other side of the water.
Yeah.
Because they left already.
Right,
he sent them on ahead.
Sure.
Okay, after he had dismissed them, Jesus, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray.
Okay.
Because he's sad. Remember
he went to that high place, huh?
His associate just died.
Yeah. He went to the high place.
Later that night, he was there alone. All by himself.
That's sad. I mean, he was probably sad. He was being sad about John.
Poor Jesus.
And, I mean, he just fed 5,000 plus people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, but John, you know? I saved all these people, but John.
But John.
You know?
Yeah.
It's sad for him.
And the boat was already... Okay, so he's up there on the mountain. He was there alone.
Yeah.
And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Oh.
Okay.
So they're in a storm on the lake.
Okay.
Okay. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. He's like, I would walk 500 miles and I would walk on the water.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, that's what he did.
Right.
When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, as you would be.
I mean, yeah.
That's fair.
Well, okay.
I have no beef with that.
Hold on. They just saw him take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed 5,000 plus people.
And they've seen his magic.
And they're terrified that he's walking on fucking water?
This isn't the crowd, right? This is his disciples. These are his homies, right?
Yeah. Like, okay. If anybody's seen his miracles, it's these guys, right?
It's these guys. Yeah.
And this is what puts them, this is what terrifies them.
It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. Maybe they couldn't see that it was Jesus yet.
I guess.
They're like, hey.
But what with that long flowing blonde hair and the, I mean, come on.
The only white guy in the Middle East. But maybe they're like looking out and they're like, oh, hey guys, do you see that? What is that? Is that, that's a man walking on the water. You
sure.
Are you seeing what I'm seeing? What the fuck is this? Maybe before they could see who it was.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? So it's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear.
Okay.
But Jesus immediately said to them in red ink.
Okay.
Take courage, fuckers. It is I. Don't be afraid. I added the fuckers. But I added it because he says take courage and there is an exclamation point. So I felt like fuckers went there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. God. Bunch of fucking pussies. Jesus. Right?
I feel like Jesus is a bit of a show off, you know?
Yeah, I feel like he is, and then he's like, what?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I just walked on water. What the fuck's your problem?
Why are you acting like that?
Why are you being weird?
Yeah, yeah. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, which I think is fair, right?
Yeah,
is this really you? I've seen demons and angels.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
They're floating, they're on every street corner here.
Right.
Right? This is the time of magic and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Lord, if it's really you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Ooh, he testing them.
Wait, okay.
Okay. Come, Jesus said.
Okay.
He came. Then Pete got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus.
Damn, I didn't know Peter walked on water, too.
Yeah. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, Lord, save me! Fuck me!
How long did he walk on the water exactly? Was it just like...
He took a few steps.
The instance as he stepped out of the boat? Like, I'm walking, nope!
No, he's like the Wile E. Coyote when he runs over a cliff and he's still running and then he looks down and then, oh, shit, there's no ground under me. And then he falls.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there's going to be a new Wile E. Coyote movie soon.
Yeah, that's fun.
Like Acme something.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be a live action and animated thing.
Yeah.
And I was ready to hate it, but I saw the trailer and it actually looks like it might be decent. I don't know. I don't want to get my hopes up. It does look kind of cool, though. And then at the end, we see the silhouette of Bugs Bunny and he goes, what is up, Doc? And that made me laugh. Okay.
I feel like him sinking, the Peter, is him like not having enough faith the whole way.
Yeah.
That's probably going to be the analogy they make, I would imagine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll see. He should have had faith.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Petey Pete with the dirty old feet. When I was a kid, my grandparents had a dog named Pete. And so they would always say, Petey Pete with the dirty old feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay. Immediately as Pete was sinking, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. Ah, you of little faith, he said in red.
See, there it is.
Why did you doubt? That's it. See? That's it.
I have not read this. I did not know. But I just knew that would have to be what it was.
Petey Pete was like, help, help. And then Jesus was like, ah, okay. Why didn't you just have faith in me and my magic?
Right.
Like, because magic.
Yeah. Like, well, again, these disciples and apostles and all these people, they supposedly have witnessed him doing
lots of shit.
Lots of miracles, right? Mm-hmm. And they understand that it's about faith and that he's the Son of God. And they're supposed to know all these things, right?
Mm-hmm. They've been commissioned. Some of them, the apostles, have been commissioned to do this shit.
How much more fucking proof do you need?
Right.
Like
every time he does a thing, it's new. They've never seen it before.
No, they seem very godsmacked, so to speak. Every time he does a fucking miracle, right?
Yeah.
And yet he has granted them miracle powers, right? He has done countless miracles in front of them.
Mm-hmm. He's healed so many people. He's brought people back to life.
Right. And then he does some new miracle in front of them. And they're like, I just don't have enough faith to walk on water because why?
Right.
What is it you're doubting at this point? If you're still doubting and you've seen all these things, like, how the fuck is anybody else supposed to believe that this guy walked on water and didn't? You're there watching it happen and you still are doubting.
Right.
And to me, that's just not saying a lot for this, like, the believability of this story, in my opinion.
No, it's true. Like, if even Petey Pete didn't believe right there in front of his eyes,
right.
Why the hell am I supposed to?
Yeah.
I've not seen any of that shit.
I don't think that at that point you could expect anybody to believe at that level of faithfulness to anybody, because if the most faithful to him
are still
and who have seen all these things can't, then how could anybody be expected to have that much?
No, that's true. That's true. So Jesus is like, oh, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Like, you couldn't have made the fucking wind die down before I got out of the fucking boat. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God.
Okay.
Yeah, praise Jesus.
Because that's a new phenomenon since they...
Yeah.
They didn't,
the other magic meant nothing. This magic was big. This was big magic.
I mean, the way they described it, the splitting of the fucking bread and the fish didn't seem like that big of a deal. They just fed all the people and then they went on their way.
Yeah.
Right? And now he's walking on water and they're like, And I'm like,
That tells me that maybe somebody had ordered DoorDash and they actually didn't magic the bread and fishes.
Right.
That's why the disciples weren't that impressed.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, look, all the wives brought, you know, pocket bread.
I feel like the feeding them was just like they just had some shit stored. No, like, like, this is all we have. But then grab out of the basket.
Come on,
keep grabbing.
Yeah. They're like, let's make it look like magic. All right. We're almost done with this chapter. Let's bring it home.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
When they had crossed over, so they're still in the boat.
Yeah.
And the guys are like bowing down, praying and stuff.
Sure.
When they had crossed over the water, they landed at Gennesaret.
Okay.
That sounds like something out of Dune. Like, Dune totally borrowed shit from the Bible.
Well, like, actually,
the Bene Gesserit.
The Dune borrows stuff from, I think, like the Middle East at the very least.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I mean, this place is Gennesaret.
Right.
And that sounds just like the Bene Gesserit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, they landed at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The end. So more ho-hum magic happens that nobody gives a fuck about and isn't that impressive.
it's not, though.
Right.
Like, this clearly. There's nothing that, like, the way that they're presenting this,
mm-hmm.
like, the whole lead up to where we are right now has been nothing but miracles and prophecy stuffing.
Right.
That's all it's been. Right. And every so often, even his disciples and his apostles are just fucking amazed at how much magic he can do. And it's like, he literally granted you guys powers. You guys apparently can do magic of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're amazed that the Son of God.
Right.
God. Yahweh. Mm-hmm. You're amazed that he can do more than you. Why are you fucking amazed?
I feel like we're missing part of the story. And I think the part of the story that we're missing, which is that magic isn't real.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, like this. And that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, none of this tracks because it just feels like they're trying to. They're trying to stuff this book full of shit to make you be like, oh, this is the Son of God, obviously, because he's doing all these miraculous things and all this shit's happening.
They're not even trying. They're doing a shitty job of it is what's frustrating.
Like, they're even name-dropping. They're name-dropping the fuck out of people. Like John the Baptist, right? John mm-hmm. the Baptist obviously was a big player at that time, right? So they're like, let's name-drop John the Baptist. And, like, you know, he's going to play into this too.
Build him in.
Whatever. But they're name dropping, they're fucking prophecy dropping, they're fucking miracle dropping. They're dropping everything so hard that it just feels very contrived.
It does. It does. I don't care for it personally. I will say this is so much more readable and enjoyable on a reading level than the Old Testament.
Sure.
And I can appreciate that.
And I suppose if I was reading this from the perspective of this was an ancient mythological religion that we were learning about,
mm-hmm.
I would probably react a little bit differently.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Except that these stories are still prevalent and active in our society today.
And I'm still expected to believe in this magic.
Right.
And
right.
I'm like, no, but that's clearly that didn't happen. Even as guys don't believe it happened.
This guy, Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is literally affecting policy in politics of the United States where we live right now today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's why I have such an issue with the way that this is presented to us, because it just doesn't read like something that I should believe. It doesn't read like something that convinces me that religion or Christianity or God is real. It reads like someone is doing a try hard mm-hmm. of just stuffing as much shit as they can into one book to say, this is God. Believe us. Come on, believe us. This is God.
They're trying hard, but they're not trying hard enough, you know? And
right. I feel like
that's frustrating.
If God were writing this, it would sound much more natural and just matter of fact, right? Like, yeah. or if somebody that wrote it well mm-hmm. was writing it,
mm-hmm.
it would just be matter of fact. This is what happened. And more than that, I would expect that something of this caliber, this level of like amazingness, right, would be backed by some level of historical accountability.
Right.
Right. And that doesn't happen either.
At all. At right. all.
So it none of it to me tracks very well. And I'm told by Christians to just, you know,
just believe
it. You gotta take it on faith. You gotta believe. You gotta trust that God's doing.
And I'm like, blah, no, blah, blah, you blah, told blah. Me if I read this book that it was gonna make me believe.
Right, but I think that in order to the way that you're supposed to read it is to assume that these things all really happened, right? I can't. I can't just assume that these things happened
because it's silly.
Some fucker from 2,000 years ago told me they happened.
And it's silly. It's silly.
It is.
I'm sorry.
It is.
I went to school and I learned things. It's silly.
Right. But
I think that's where we land.
That's where we land. But they kind of stopped. I want to know more about John the Baptist still. I'm very fucking disappointed in that whole story.
I mean, we'll hear about him again from the other guys.
Obviously.
The other Beatles in the band.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Chichi Gang.
Right. Well, that was Matthew chapter 14.
Little Maddie.
And we will be back next time with
Little Maddie chapter 15.
All right. We'll see you then.
Bye.
Hey, wife. I guess that's the end.
a husband. That's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.